Hi everyone, welcome to a new episode of The Players Lounge, the tennis podcast that focuses on the mental aspect of the game. My name is Jennifer Meegan, I am a former professional tennis player, and I launched this podcast because I wanted to create a space in which tennis players could find tools and concrete solutions in order to improve their mental skills. But this podcast is not only for tennis players. It is also for parents and coaches who are looking for solutions in order to help their children and players to reach their full potential. If you are a regular listener of The Players Lounge, thank you so much for your support. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. If you like what you hear, it would mean the world to me if you could go on Apple Podcast, leave a 5-star review, so more and more people can discover the podcast and we can create a great community. That being said, let's get started. Since the resuming of the ATP and WTA tour last summer, several players have expressed publicly their mental struggle, loss of motivation, and real difficulties to accept the way the tour is now set up. One of them stood out over the past week. French player Benoit Paire stirred controversy and backlash for some major tennis figure over some comments that he made. For those who have missed it, basically, Benoit Paire recently said that he was tired of the circumstances of ATP events and the way they were organized. And the only reason why he was going was to escape the COVID situation in France, the circumstances of the lockdown, so he could actually be out of the bubble and just to grab a paycheck. He basically said that, hey, I'm going to get about 10 grand to lose first round. Why would I try harder when the winner of a tournament only makes a bit more? Of course, people were pissed, which is understandable. But if we take 1 second to take away the provocative statement and focus on the fact that tennis players have been struggling, because of course what Benoit Paire said is not acceptable. A lot of players have spoken against that. Tony Nadal said that was a lack of respect for the game. Andy Roddick said that basically the guy admitted that he was tanking and then he should be fined. But then you have players like Kim Clijsters who said that although they don't agree with she doesn't agree with what Benoit Paire said, she said that he might need some help. And we've seen other players struggle. If we take Gaël Monfils, for instance, everyone remembers how heartbroken he was after losing the first round of the Australian Open, and he actually broke down in tears. So there is a lot of struggle, and we've seen people expressing their struggle with the bubbles. So how can we help those ATP and WTA players? First of all, why are they struggling? And can we do something? Is there solutions? So I've been doing a bit of research based on the recent events and how several players have been dealing with the situation. And this is why the topic of today's episode is why are ATP and WTA players struggling with the new tour and what can be done to help them. All right, let's get started. So like I said, Benoit Paire was really like the trigger of that, you know, frustration, really talked about how he hated, you know, how the way the tour is, that basically like playing without a crowd is an issue. And people were very quick to say that it was very obscene to say that because some people are struggling, don't have money. And I get the point. I'm not here to say that Benoit Paire should not be held accountable for what he said. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if we can disagree with what the way he said things, I think that we should also have a conversation about the fact that players are struggling. As a matter of fact, he's not the only one. We've seen how, you know, I've mentioned that in the introduction, that Gaël Monfils broke down, you know, in tears during a press conference because he just cannot find the joy anymore in the game. We also had Denis Shapovalov, who's actually been playing quite well, and but said that after playing at the Australian Open, he actually needed to take some time off in Dubai where he could train and get some kind of normalcy, because the restriction in Dubai have been pretty much lifted compared to most countries, and he just wanted to train there, and he withdrew from Rotterdam. So this is like a player that has been doing quite okay since the beginning of this new ATP circuit, yet still admitted that he was struggling. In Miami this week, we saw Vasek Pospisil completely losing it during his match, and said that basically, and then when the referee asked him, hey, what's the story? He said, look, I've been yelled at by, you know, Andrea Godenzi for like 1 hour, and then he cursed him out. And of course, again, these are not excuses, and although when he apologized, he said that he didn't know that, you know, the condition and the pressure was just too much for him, and he kind of basically lashed out. Is that an excuse? Maybe, maybe not. But the point is that we are seeing more and more outbursts from players. Some of them, yes, are known for having outbursts on the court, but some of them are not, and yet they are still struggling, which really makes me think that, okay, there is an issue there. So let's identify where this comes from. First of all, I think that one of the things that can be done is to understand that we need to accept the situation. So right now, I think a lot of players are struggling because they are still not accepting the fact that the tour might not go back to what it used to be. And I understand that it's actually very scary, because here you have players that have been training for years, sometimes even decades, since they've been kids to reach that grail, that holy grail, and they find themselves in a situation now where, well, a lot of the benefits that came with playing on the ITP tour are gone. Let me explain. For instance, you know, one of the great things that is when you play on the tour is that you play in front of like big crowds with thousands of people, you know, just cheering you up. And this is gone. Now they have to play even Grand Slam with more or less no crowd. That's really hard. So you really have to have this mourning process of saying, okay, things might not going to go back the way they used to be. On top of that, tennis is a very organized sport. We train with goals in mind. The first one, of course, is to be able to compete, win titles, and then etc., etc. We live these incredible emotions, like I said. We travel the world, meet different people, and now we've seen since last year that a lot of players were training, struggled to even go to practice because they didn't know what they were training for. And then when they go back on tour, they have to live in bubbles. And again, I'm not saying that you know, we should that their life is much harder than regular people who have to go to job. But again, I'm saying, if we don't think about the financial aspect of it, we've seen a lot of people just in regular lives that have been struggling with the new situation, the fact that they have to work from home. It's not an easy situation, and it's the same for tennis players. They have to deal with a lot of uncertainties, and on top of that, they have to, you know, do like a regular testings, and then always having the fear that they might get positive, and then if they are positive, they might be disqualified from a tournament. We've seen all those crazy situations last year. So all of this is creating a lot of stress in a sport that is already very high pressured. So being able to accepting the situation and telling yourself, okay, the tour might not be like this, like it used to be, and I have to accept that. The earlier you accept it, the better you will be able to move on and to actually be more, have a better performance on court. So that's the one struggle. And once you have this acceptance of the fact that situations are the way they are and trying to make the best of it, then there is another issue, because once we are accepting this, then we need to rebuild the identity with no expectations. So let me explain. What happens is that, again, when people had to come to terms with the fact that, okay, the tour might not be the way it used to be, then it's not what I've been training for. A lot of people were not able to play. They found themselves at home. So then they were not tennis players anymore. And for a lot of players and a lot of athletes in general, being an athlete is who you are. You don't really have an identity outside of it, which is why we see a lot of athletes and tennis players struggle once they retire, because there is a need to rebuild your identity around something else. And this is what happened with COVID. Players find themselves all of a sudden with nothing, and they have to rebuild themselves. And now that the tour is back with different settings, they still need to rebuild themselves, to rebuild their identity. And some questions, I've talked about this several times, but I think it's very important to reinforce that point. Again, the question are that you should ask yourself, why are you playing tennis? And again, there are no right and wrong answers. The point of this podcast is really to make sure that we discuss openly about themes and that we are trying to be as transparent as possible, because my goal is really to help players to reach their full potential. So these are the questions. Some of the questions that you can ask yourself are, why are you playing tennis? Like I said, there is no right or wrong answers. That can be, if it is because you want to earn money, and that is something that also might be a struggle, because right now we've seen that the prize money in tournaments are becoming less and less important, and more than ever now, you don't know, you know, if you are going to make it. The investment is becoming more and more uncertain. Am I going to get my return of investment? Then are you playing for the fame, for significance? What we see is that people are losing a bit of interest in the game, in the sense that people are, you know, of course there are less viewers in stadiums, but that's because of COVID, and people are starting to kind of looking for a solution how they're gonna have the retention of their fans, and people are not watching as much on television. So again, it's for the players, it's difficult, because a lot of them, they play for the crowd, especially those showmen. They love to get the energy, and that's an amazing feeling. I mean, when you have 20,000 people just cheering you up, that's an incredible feeling. So I can understand that, you know, players might be wanting to make it to the top so they can feel those emotions. But at the moment, they have to find other ways to be motivated, because they cannot rely on that at least in most tournaments. So that's something that is different. And I understand the struggle because it feels like going back to the Challengers time or ITF circuit, where usually you don't have many people watching you, and that's not an exciting part when you've been there. But you have to go through that. And again, I think the ITP and WTA tours are doing the best they can, so we can go back to normal, or you know, like pre-COVID era type of situations. But at the time, we kind of have to just accept that we might not get back to that anytime soon, and it's not easy. I give that to you. So then the question is, when you have asked yourself those questions, are you playing for the love of the game? And usually this is why you started to play. This is the reason why you've been playing when you were little. You know, you might have quickly thought about being a pro and winning Grand Slam, but usually when you pick up a racket, it's because most of the time it's because you liked it. And we hear often players said, "Hey, I had to go back to the basics." And not just tennis players, but athletes in general. "Hey, I started because I loved it, so I have to go back and find the passion." And we see that, yeah, some players are playing the same regardless who's watching it, who is not. And that's something that for the people who are struggling, they might just want to say, "Hey, I'm just going to go out there and enjoy myself." As a matter of fact, Denis Shapovalov, it's what he said. He said, "I played the Australian Open and I felt that I was very drained mentally. And I've decided that I was going to play as little as possible this year, because what I want to do is that when I go and play those tournaments, I want to make sure that I am fully motivated so I can really enjoy myself, go out there and have a great time." And I think that I really appreciated the honesty that he showed. And I think it's a great way to make sure that, okay, the situation is hard, so it's not denying it. I'm going to make sure that when I go out there, regardless of the situations, I'm going to enjoy myself. I thought it was pretty brilliant to come up with it. And one of the other advice that I would give when it comes to, you know, this identity crisis that some players might be facing right now is to find things. And I've said that, you know, struggle to exist outside of tennis, or even in when you're an athlete in general, is a real issue. When you're not playing, when you don't have results, your self-esteem tends to just fluctuate and you become more negative. Well, that's why it is quite important to find things or activities that you can do regardless of the pandemic situation. And when I'm saying that is that the activities I'm talking about are things that you find a sense of fulfillment, and that can help you to build a new skill. We saw some players, you know, playing up an instrument or picking up new things, and it can be really anything, but you just want to make sure that you develop that skill outside tennis that can really find and bring you some joy at the same time. So that's something that you can do. Again, I said that you have also been a lot for the players that have been struggling. A lot of reason why is because you are you isolate yourself and you are on social media, and and this is more for players that are evolving on the secondary ITF circuit. We've seen that there is a lot of online bullying, especially from people who are betting on tennis matches, and it's a phenomenon that's been growing over the years. So one of the things I would say is to protect yourself in terms when it comes to social media, make sure that what you are consuming is very positive, because we've seen that. I remember like when social media was not that big, I said to a friend that, you know, in a couple of years we will be treating people because of social media depression. And she was like, Jennifer, you're ridiculous. And I said, no, because we see a lot of things, like people are portraying different lies, a lot of fake stuff happening, and people are going to be sitting on their phones and feeling bad about their lives because they will feel like they're not achieving. And when I look the way things are now, not only I was right, but I actually underestimated what was going on. Funny enough, I saw recently that Andy Murray decided to erase all his social media accounts. And he said that he watched a documentary. I haven't watched it. It's called The Social Dilemma, I think. And Social Media Dilemma on Netflix. And he said that basically he just wanted to kind of, you know, go back to something more natural. And then what he was seeing a lot is that people kept asking, why aren't you retiring? And he was like, since I have my new hip, my metal hip, like he said, I've been playing pretty good players. So there is absolutely no reason why I should be retiring, actually enjoy myself. Again, we go back to that joy. And it's very interesting that we live in a culture that is really all about being a success and you have to succeed and you have to win and you have to this, and if you're not exceptional, if you're not winning, whatever winning means in the way society wants it to be, then you should quit, you should be ashamed. And Andy Murray said, no, I'm actually enjoying myself, so as long as I find myself competitive, I'm going to continue. And it's crazy because we're talking about Andy Murray, someone who had an amazing career, multiple Grand Slam winner, won the Olympics twice. I mean, number one in the world. The guy has nothing to prove to anyone. Yet, people are still like saying, oh, judging him, and oh, you should retire. So I cannot even imagine what it feels like for someone who doesn't have the list of titles as Andy Murray. That's why it's very important that you protect yourself from all the negativity that you can see on social media. I'm not against social media, actually. I like it much, and I think it's a great tool. I'm just saying that in that era that we are living, there's a lot of frustration, and a lot of people take their frustration online, and they are also suffering. Again, it's about understanding that even when people are raging behind their screen, they might not even be talking to you directly. They just mad at themselves, and then you just end up to be on their way of rage. But yeah, one of the things that also you can do during this pandemic time is to really make sure that you build a strong support system. And it's something that is quite important, and I've said that, and people say that all the time, surround yourself with people like you, and but really what it means is that it's difficult if you are on tour right now and you're struggling to make it, and you might just want to, you know, you have to travel by yourself. Make sure that the people who are at home or, you know, traveling with you are really in alignment with your goals. It is absolutely necessary, because I truly believe that who you surround yourself with will be the major key to your success. So make sure that your support system is strong, and that you are, so you, even if it doesn't have to be many people, but the people who are around you, the people who are really helping you to achieve that dream of tennis that you have to be successful, need to be people who have, and it's going to be a challenge for the whole team. Everyone has to be in check, because no one really could have anticipated COVID. So that's why it requires that everyone is on board and everyone understands that we need to put great energy and positivity towards the goal of succeeding in tennis. And After Australian Open, actually, Djokovic said that he was really thankful to his team for their energy, and I really appreciated him saying that, because we always talk about, you always hear the players thanking their teams, but in that case, it was really, especially when we know how much backlash he got during that Australian month, it was very important to say thank you for your energy. So that is something that you really want to be careful about, and making sure that, okay, you have the right support system around you. All right. Last but not least, and I think it's probably the most important point, is open up about your struggle and get some help if necessary. Vulnerability is tough in sport. It's a topic that is very sensitive. A lot of players don't like to talk about their weaknesses and their struggle, because it really feels like being weak, especially like the, funny enough, it's especially the older player, more experienced, because people from my generation or even a bit older, we've been trained to always, you know, it's this no pain, no gain kind of mentality. You don't show your weaknesses to your opponent because, hey, if you do, then you're screwed, basically. So you can never say, oh, I'm struggling. You always have to push, and it makes you kind of forget about your, to lose touch with yourself. And that's why we see, like I said, a lot of players struggling when they retired, and people not knowing that they have struggled, because it's very difficult to ask for help, because we are supposed to be soldiers and always strong. But really, vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is actually strength. Being able to say, hey, I need some help. I need someone to help me to navigate things because I'm struggling, is probably one of the most empowering things that you can do as an athlete. So if you find yourself in a situation where you don't really know where you're going, if you're struggling emotionally, ask for help. It can be really, like, if I know that the ATP and WTA tours, they have resources. You can call, they team up with some companies that you can, you know, reach out to and ask for help. But if you are still battling on the ITF or junior circuit, hey, you can ask for a mental coach, and that will be something, or sports psychologist, and then it's becoming more and more discussed in sport, which I think is great. And actually, what's really great is that, hey, the younger generation might really change that and make it normal. We've seen Iga Swiatek, who won the French Open, and she's been very open about having hired a sports psychologist and have her traveled with her. And she explained how the fact that she was with her and in those big tournaments really helped her with the game. And she said, and she explained that how, okay, well, she's helping me to understand myself much better, and it really helps my game. And I think that the younger generation, because social media, like I said, it can be actually a good thing. You know, they are sharing more, they are more open than the more older players were. So they don't have a problem, you know, talking about their struggle. And it's actually helping them. And we see that it's not hurting their game. And I think this is why we see youngsters a bit coming up. I feel like they are more comfortable with who they are, and they are more accepting of the situation. Actually, we've seen like several youngsters playing well over the last year, and I think, yeah, they, first of all, they don't really know the tour that much, so they don't miss the old tour. And that's, I think, a great advantage. And they're also more comfortable with who they are, with their struggles. So they don't really, okay, they can just say it's hard, and then they move on. So, you know, I think it's a great example. Iga Swiatek is a great example. Elina Svitolina also discussed that she's working with a mental coach, and that that she had worked with some before, but that it's also a process. where you need to learn how to trust the person. And then she said that she tells this person everything about her life, because now she has so much trust in that person that she feels that by sharing as much as possible, then it will help her to really hone her mental skills. So really, don't hesitate. If you need some help, get some help. It's okay. When you're sick, you go to the doctor. If you're an athlete and you are struggling mentally, don't hesitate to go and see a sports psychologist and or mental coach. And that's for everyone, you know, from ATP top players to juniors, you know, just local players. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I really wanted to talk about mental health and how we can, as tennis players, do better in that territory, because I think it is so essential and so important. I hope you really enjoyed that podcast episode. If you liked it, again, make sure to subscribe and to leave a review on Apple Podcast. It will really mean the world to me. Well, until next time, you guys have an amazing day, and remember, always do your best and forget about the rest. Take care. Bye.